Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 161 on July 21st, 2017. Saving the world, one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. Also, remember, an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and be sure to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. Okay, everybody, let me tell you a little bit about what it's like to be 60, since my last podcast was about turning 60. So what has it been like? What have I thought about? What does the big 6-0 mean to me? Here's some reflections for you. You know, what people think doesn't matter as much. I noticed that a lot when I turned 40. It's just like you don't give a fuck so much anymore about what people think. But when you're 60, ooh, big time. And you know, I had a memory of this little old lady walking around in the market. She was probably way over 60, maybe like 70 or 80. And she just walked up to the broccoli stalks and she snapped off the end of that stalk, just kept the head, put it in a bag, and walked on her merry way. And this was before they used to sell broccoli two different ways, one with the stalk and one without. And I just thought that was fucking ballsy. So yeah, that's an example. You just don't give a fuck. You just do what you want to do. At the same time, it's really important for me to conduct myself with three keywords: honesty, integrity, and authenticity. Authenticity, I want to be exactly who I am. Integrity, I want to keep to my code of morals. And honesty, well, that speaks for itself. Always walk through life with honesty. Absolutely. And you know, here's another thing about being 60. There's really an importance of staying active. It's pretty easy to give into inertia. It is. You can just kind of sit there and you can watch cool things on TV, you can watch cool things on your computer, and do nothing. And of course, it's always easy to do that. And there are people who I really envy who seem to have the active gene. They just kind of need to get out there and do their thing and stay active. And they've made a habit of doing that regularly, consistently. It's sort of part of their day. They wouldn't think of not exercising. So as a result, I'm taking a walk on the beach today with a friend of mine who's markedly more fit than I am. But hard to complain, you know, walking on the beach. Wow, tough one. She goes a long, long way. And, you know, you're walking in soft sand, so it's no stroll on the beach. It is definitely exercise. The last time I took a walk with her, I ended up coming home, filling up the tub and putting a whole bag of Epsom salts in there, drinking a ton of water. And that is the only reason I wasn't sore, because my calves were already tight and painful when I got home. But at the same time, walking along the beach, oh my God, so beautiful. You know, the reason I want to stay in shape is not only because when you walk around in life, it feels better, but because, okay, plausible situation. Perhaps I have the opportunity to play with several beautiful men several days in a row, or perhaps at the same time, right? Because after all, I do have a bucket list, and oh yes, that is on the bucket list, is a couple of men with me at the same time. Anyway, I want to be fit enough to take full advantage of this situation for hours and hours, right? And let's see, what else about turning 60? I still feel young. I still look at myself and the things that I choose to do and how I live my life, and I see an intensity that other older people lack. They've stopped doing things like staying up late and whooping it up at a party. And in fact, I met a guy recently who just turned 65. And I was rather impressed when he called me and I said, you know, I'm working on a podcast and I have to get this done, but I'm torn because I really want to talk with you. And he said, no problem. finish the podcast, call me and wake me up. Nice, because he was in a different time zone, you see. So I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. I like people who are willing to step over that line sometimes and stretch themselves, whether it's with sleep or food or parties or intensity. And that is an aspect that I see lacking as people get older. And I think it's a natural thing, but I'm hanging on to that for as long as I can. So let me give you a quick Patreon update. Bill Baggins increased his $5 a month pledge to $10. Thank you, Bill. Very much appreciated. Gina pledged $5 per month. Thank you for your generous pledge, Gina. Really appreciate your support. And Dave also pledged $5 a month. Thank you for your pledge, Dave. I really, really appreciate the support from all of you. You are all helping me to make Pegging Paradise the best it can be, so thank you. Okay, let's jump right into some letters and stuff. Let's go for it here. This was a comment on my pegging101.com website under the frequently asked questions. My boyfriend seems to like it better for me to fuck his ass with my tongue or anything rather than make love to me. I am average, not thin, not fat. I feel he's not attracted to me, but he gets rock hard if I lick his ass. Is he gay? We have regular sex maybe once a week, but he would let me fuck his ass every day and jack off himself or me jack him off. It doesn't matter. Okay, so I can imagine you must be kind of upset about this, and I totally get it. So here's the deal with when guys first start getting prostate stimulation. A combination of prostate stimulation and penile stimulation can give a guy an orgasm that's like 10 times as powerful as any other type of orgasm. So that is a very strong draw. And so he sounds like he's totally enthralled with how powerful and how amazing and how pleasurable this is, which is understandable. What's not okay, though, is that he seems to be not keeping up his end of the deal in terms of having the regular sex with you and making sure you're satisfied, and that he's falling into you could fuck me every single day and I'd be happy. So because there can be a period of really getting intensely interested in this to the exclusion of other normal sexual things, what I do suggest for couples is scheduling things. First, let me back up just a bit and address the whole gay thing. No, he's not gay. He might be bisexual, he might be bi-curious, but if you want to know that, you need to ask him that and trust his answer. The fact that he likes anal stimulation has absolutely no bearing whatsoever on his sexual orientation. It just means he likes anal stimulation. And I just explained why, because it's so intensely pleasurable. So, okay, let's move on to the scheduling thing. Here's what I recommend. You have a talk with him and you say, okay, look, I'm glad that you like this thing. I have fun doing it. You have fun doing it. But I really need some regular sex, and I need my needs to be taken care of, and I'm sort of feeling like that's all you want to do is have me fuck you. So we're going to schedule this. That way, you will know it is going to happen, so that every time we get in bed, you don't have to ask me for it or hope that I'm going to play with your ass, right? Also, it will help you know when you need to clean out, so that you can be prepared for when I fuck you. And then it will help me because every time we get into bed, I won't be afraid that you're going to ask, can you play with my ass again? Because I really like this and this and this type of sex too. And so we need to do those so that I'm satisfied. So it sounds kind of unsexy, but it's really helpful for couples to schedule the pegging. That way he knows it's going to happen. He can depend on it. And, you know, as opposed to it being sort of you're only going to get it once a week and it's only going to be on Wednesdays, have fun with it. Turn it into a positive thing. Talk about it together and decide how often it feels good for both of you and make sure it's a compromise as opposed to him sort of asserting, I need it at least three times a week, Make sure it's a compromise and that you're both happy with the schedule that you set. And then make it a positive and have fun with it and do like sexy texting. Send him a text in the middle of the day and go, "So, honey, today's the day I get to fuck your ass tonight. Are you going to be ready for me? Because I'm going to sink all the way into the hilt and I'm going to make you moan like a bitch." Or whatever you want to say, okay? You get the point. The sexy texting puts an element of fun back into it, and also anticipation, which in itself can be really, really sexy. So those are the things that I recommend, and good luck to you, and please let us know how it goes. Okay, this was an email. "Hi, Ruby. Please accept my birthday wishes. I, too, am 60 years old, and it's not half as bad as it seems. I have recently become a devotee of your work, especially your podcasts. I am writing to tell you of my fantasy regarding you. It's not the usual stuff in which someone imagines you dressed in stockings and a basque while ramming various toys into body cavities." Okay, and at this point in time, I'm going to depart just a little bit. I had to look up the word basque, B-A-S-Q-U-E, and I guess it's kind of a corset that fits around the waist. So if you were confused by that word like I was, I thought I'd tell you I looked it up, and that's what it is. So that's what his vision is. Now let me continue on with the letter. "My fantasy is simply that everyone would be as wise, intelligent, well-informed, kind, empathetic, and positive as you are. It isn't going to happen, but what a wonderful world it would be if people used you as a pattern for imitation. Having listened to many of your podcasts, I never cease to be amazed at the way you assess and advise on the relationship and sexual issues of those who contact you. I am a pegging novice, whose wonderful partner has agreed to walk with me on my path to anal fun. Some toys have been purchased while others are on wish lists, and I have begun some solo exploration. I've taken your advice about buying high-quality items and buying only once. I'm pleased that I have found a UK supplier for Aslan harnesses, but I cannot find Fuse products over there. Do you know of any stockists on my side of the ocean? Best wishes, David." David, thank you so much for writing in and for the birthday wishes and for all of those kind words. That means a lot to me. And it kind of leaves me a little speechless when people throw all the kind words out there. But I do appreciate them. They're lovely to hear. And I am thankful for you writing all those in. It sounds like you are in the beginning stages of exploring all this. I'm so glad that you're doing self-exploration. That's awesome. And let's see, you found a UK supplier for the Aslan harnesses, but you can't find Fuse products over there. So Entice Me will ship to the UK. It's going to cost a little bit more. Or if you need to watch your pennies, you can actually buy directly from Fuse and they will ship over to the UK. And I do believe they said that their shipping is free. So there you go. I like hearing that your choices are the Aslan harness and the Fuse dildo. That's awesome. Please let us know when we can play the music for you, sir, and thank you so much for that wonderful letter. Okay, this is a back and forth I had with someone who wrote me on FetLife. "I have been a fan of yours for some time. Some of your contributions on Reddit pegging about 4 years ago really helped my girlfriend and I jump into the fantastic world of pegging. We have had an intermediate set from Tantus since that time. We are looking to branch out. But your blog post on recommendations is a little old. Do you have an updated list?" So I wrote him back and said, "So you want to branch out a little bit? Tell me what that means. Better harness? Longer dildo? Longer, wider, or both? A dildo for her pleasure too? Are you interested in doubles?" And he responded, "Harness. Not so much. More length or a different angle on the dildo. I've heard the curve was good. She hasn't expressed a desire for double-ended as of right now. She is also wanting a separate toy to peg others, as I'm not comfortable sharing. I forgot to add, the dildo itself is 7 inches in length and 1.5 inches wide. Any general safe pegging tips in regards to gloves, condoms, and possible toy sharing? Thank you so much for your time." So first of all, the Tantus Curve is an awesome toy. The reason I wanted to read this exchange to you is because it ends up being a really good example of how many considerations there are when buying toys. Once again, I'm going to jump into my car metaphors. Men's prostates have varying levels of sensitivity. Some men are quite happy with a very straight, soft dildo sliding back and forth in their rectal cavity right next to their prostate. And the metaphor for that is a drive-by. You've got that dildo going back and forth, but it's not really getting too much action on the prostate. And then some guys, like a sideswipe, that dildo kind of goes by and touches it and maybe curves against it, but it isn't really intensely hitting that prostate. It's just kind of sideswiping it, okay? And the last one is the head-on. The tantus curve would definitely be in that category. If you have that tantus curve on, it's quite curved, which is why it's called the curve, and it's a pretty firm silicone. So if you position that right, you've got that just poking almost, going right up against that prostate. I've actually had a partner tell me at one point in time, who clearly was more of a drive-by or sideswipe guy, he said, "I feel like my insides are being rearranged." So as you can see, different people like different things. So if you really enjoy it when your partner has her fingers inside you and she's really pressing hard on your prostate or giving it pretty firm pleasure, then I think the tantus curve would be a great thing for you. It is not quite as long as your 7-inch 1.5 one, but it could be that you're just looking for something of a different shape because you want to try more prostate stimulation because you want to see if that gets you to a higher degree of pleasure. If you end up deciding that your prostate is more of a sideswipe or a drive-by, then I would recommend one of the Blush Novelties dual density dildos that are longer, specifically the Suko, S-U-K-O. The Suko is 7 inches long and 1.6 inches in diameter, and you had mentioned that the toy you have now is 7 inches long and 1.5. The 1.6 is not going to be too much for you to handle because it is a dual density toy. So that outer layer is softer and a little bit more forgiving. The thing about the Suko is that it's got some nice curves and ridges, plus it's got a pronounced head. When I have received anal sex, one of the things I really enjoy is that first penetration with the head and that feeling of exquisite pleasure and relief when the head clears. So that's something that you can get with this toy as well. And it's got some cool curves and ridges on it. Plus, it's got that suction cup. So it's also something that's really fun to take in the shower, or as I like to say, because I can't get rid of this visual, on the granite countertop in the kitchen. You never know how flexible someone is, how adventuresome they are. Who knows? You walk in the door from work and he's fucking himself on the kitchen counter. Oh, the places my mind goes, I swear. Another one that you might want to check out is the Tantus Echo. That one is actually 1.5 inches in diameter, and it's 7 inches long, but it's got all kinds of lovely ridges and things. So if the ridges and the waves sort of on the surface of it are something you think you might enjoy, then that would be a good choice. The curve is going to give you a whole lot of prostate stimulation, and you do need to be like the head-on type of metaphor car prostate dude to enjoy that. The thing is it doesn't need to be something that's really slammed in there. It can be a toy where once she's got it placed exactly right, she can just do a little bit of movement with her hips, and it can go back and forth right on that prostate. So if you do like really firm pressure, go for the curve. If you like sort of feeling waves and ridges go in and out and kind of go by your prostate, try the Tantus Echo. Check that out on enticeme.com, #RubyRider. And if you really like more of the drive-by type of you're being stretched, whether it be in length or in girth, but you don't have a prostate that can handle really intense stimulation, then try the Suko, S-U-K-O. I'll put the links for all of those in the Linkorama, of course. And all you have to do to find other models of things is to go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and put in dildos. That's an easy way to do it. So yeah, there you go. There's a bunch of choices for you. And your last question was any general safe pegging tips in regards to glove, condoms, and possible toy sharing. So here's what I know about toy sharing. As long as you have 100% silicone dildo, you can sterilize that, and it is fine for sharing. Now, here is the one caveat, is that HPV has been found on completely sterilized, alcohol-wiped, boiled toys. HPV, okay? HPV can go inactive, inert, because it's a virus. So while it's inactive and inert, it kind of stays alive everywhere. It's rather ubiquitous. So if you want to make absolutely, absolutely sure, you can put a condom on all of your toys. That will prevent the possibility of transmission of HPV to a huge extent. There are no guarantees, okay? You can also use a female condom on you. You should check those out because basically what they are, they're a ring that sits on the outside of your ass, and then it's a larger condom that goes in your ass. So when there's fucking happening in your ass, that toy never comes into contact with the inside of your ass. So when I use toys, I do share them with different partners. I do tell them that I don't use condoms on my toys. Okay, so let me talk a little bit about HPV, since, you know, from what I just said, it sounds like I'm like, well, there's a chance you could catch HPV, but la la la, I don't care. I don't cover my toys with a condom. Here are the statistics, and I'm going to put the link in the Linkorama. This is from the CDC, Center for Disease Control, right? So here's the deal with HPV. You can get HPV by having vaginal, anal, or oral sex with someone who has the virus. And it's most commonly spread during vaginal or anal sex. And it can be passed on even when the infected person has no signs or symptoms at all. If you're sexually active, you can get it, even if you've only had sex with one person. So in most cases, HPV goes away on its own. It does not cause any health problems. But when it doesn't, it can cause health problems like genital warts and cancer. Those are the two biggest ones, right? So does it cause cancer? Yes, it can cause cervical and other types of cancer of the vulva, vagina, penis, or anus. It can also cause cancer in the back of the throat, including the base of the tongue and tonsils. So here's the deal. Cancer often takes years, even decades, to develop after a person gets HPV. And the types of HPV that cause genital warts are not the same as the types of HPV that can cause cancers. There's no way to know which people who have HPV are going to develop cancer or other health problems. To avoid getting HPV, you can use condoms the right way every time you have sex, but that just lowers your chance of getting HPV because it can infect the areas not covered by the condom. So condoms are not full protection against getting HPV, which is why I recommended the female condom, is because actually the female condom covers more of you and there is less skin-to-skin contact. But okay, given all of that information, here are the statistics, people. This is why I take the chances that I do. Here are the statistics. Here's the deal. So, about 79 million Americans are currently infected with HPV, and about 14 million people become newly infected each year. It's so common that most sexually active men and women are going to get at least one type of HPV at some point in their lives, okay? But here's the deal. The other conditions and cancers, which are the serious things other than genital warts that are caused by the HPV that occur in people living in the United States, every year approximately 17,600 women and 9,300 men are affected by cancers caused by HPV. This is just the cancer thing, because genital warts are very treatable. They're external. It's not, you know, it's a pain in the ass, but it's not a big deal, right? Cancer can be a big deal. But if we look at those numbers, what that actually means is that 0.022 women get cancer from the HPV virus, okay? And 0.012% of men. Those are pretty damn good odds, if you ask me. So that's why I take the risks that I do. I am not everyone. You need to make your own choices about the risks that you take. And of course, if you really, really want to be sure, then it's important that you are in a monogamous relationship. You only sleep with one person and they only sleep with you as well. Nonetheless, I've gotten off on quite the tangent here, but I did want you to really get good information about HPV, so go look at that link, because it's got tons of information and can answer all your questions. So there you have it. There's my HPV lecture. Now, moving along here. If you are not comfortable sharing toys and you want to make absolutely sure that it's yours, whether it's because of HPV or you just like the idea of, you know what, you don't fuck anybody else with this dildo but me, that's awesome. That's totally fine. And let's see, pegging tips in regards to gloves, condoms, and possible toy sharing. Condoms also help clean up. Some people really like them for that. And gloves. Gloves are great for also for keeping hands clean so that you can do the foreplay with the gloves on and have a great time doing that and open up your partner. And then you just flip that glove off and that same hand can do a reach around and jerk him off, or depending on the position, jerk him off and he's looking at you. So gloves are kind of cool because of that. It can keep your hand clean after you've already done the sticking the fingers in the ass thing. So I really like gloves, actually. And we just started selling them at Entice Me. So if you go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, you will find gloves there. I like the black ones, so I told Tiffany that we should sell the black ones. And I do highly recommend those just in terms of that way you're keeping your hands clean. And especially if, like, say you're the woman and you want to open your guy up and put your fingers in there. And then with that same hand, later on when you guys are playing in bed, you want to put your fingers on your clit and get yourself off. Well, if that glove has been taken off, you don't really have to worry about that. And you don't have to stop the action and kind of go, wait, I need to clean my hands and that kind of thing. So, okay, gloves rock. And let's see, condoms, I already talked about that. Safe pegging tips. Well, the safety thing is a little bit of a different aspect that I think you've already got a handle on that. As long as you're not using something too big, putting it in too fast, as long as you're using enough lube, no numbing lube, and no sharp edges, then you're good. But you're way beyond that. So those types of safety tips, I'm quite sure you've got a handle on. In terms of just cleanliness, people do like condoms and gloves strictly for that. So they're really nice to have around. And I have to credit Cooper Beckett of Life on the Swing Set for this next comment. He said, you know, I use gloves all the time. And it can be sexy to hear the snap of that glove going on. That can be something you learn to react to. It's like, oh my God. They've put the glove on. I know what comes next. This is fucking hot. And to get turned on because you hear the snap of the glove getting put on a hand. So that is a different way of looking at it that I really enjoyed Cooper bringing up because, you know, so many people go, oh God, gloves, they're kind of medicinal-ish. You know, they're just a little too detached, they're too clinical. That's the word I wanted, was clinical. But you know, they don't have to be. They totally don't. And they can be really cool for keeping things clean. Okay, thanks for writing in. And let us know what you get and how it works for you. Let us know whether you're the drive-by, the side swipe, or the head-on. And which toy you got and how you like it. One of these days, you know, my dream is to have a database that is updated as new toys come out on the market. And it's basically one of those elimination things. It's like, so, starts off saying, do you want something realistic or not realistic? What color do you like? What shape? How big? How experienced are you? How sensitive is your prostate? And all of these different things. Wouldn't it be cool to have a database of toys that narrowed it down and gave you a certain selection of toys that were right for your needs? Because so many things need to be taken into consideration. And again, that's podcast number 102, where I talk about all those things. And of course, one of them is body size and shape. There's so many different things to take into consideration. Which is why when people write in or call in and say, what is the best beginner dildo? Go listen to podcast number 102 and write me again or call me with more information and I will help you find the right toy and harness for you. But no, there is no one size fits all unless you want to get a cheap kit, which you might enjoy for a little while, but really buy once and buy quality. There you go. Okay, thanks for writing in. Okay, here's another message sent directly to me on Reddit. Ruby, I've very recently started casually seeing a man who confided in me that he really enjoys anal stimulation. He told me how long he's been into it, approximately 10 years, and has never been able to share it with anyone except the woman who originally introduced it to him. I've never pegged or pleasured any man anally other than a light fingertip or my tongue, and I'm very curious because I'd love to give him the pleasure he really enjoys. I spent a good portion of yesterday reading through your blog and stories, and I talked with him about it a little last night. I told him I'd want to be a lot more sexually comfortable together, but I wasn't against the idea. How do I get past the embarrassment on my end? I've never worn a strap-on, or have ever had a man put that much trust in me sexually. I'm self-conscious that I'm going to do something wrong or interpret what he wants incorrectly. Do you have any suggestions for a very first-timer? How did you overcome your insecurities, if any, during the first time? Good questions. Well, first of all, lucky guy that he has found a woman who is so open to exploring this with him. So kudos to you and lucky man that you have. So I also admire his courage in being able to bring that up to you. That is totally awesome. And yes, you are absolutely right. He's putting a whole lot of trust in you, not just to do the act itself, but to even talk to you about it to begin with. So, okay, how do you get past the embarrassment? I have a couple of ideas for you. I'm not sure if there is any kind of a dominant-submissive dynamic or if you guys do playful things together like blindfolds and stuff like that, but that is one way that helps with embarrassment. So picture you guys are exploring anally and you're feeling kind of self-conscious and embarrassed. Well, if he is blindfolded, somehow that seems to really eliminate a lot of the embarrassment because he can't see you. And so you can be awkward, you can make faces, you can do all kinds of things, and he can't see you. He feels your touch. You guys are still talking and communicating throughout it all, but he can't see you. So that's one idea I have, would be to blindfold him and see if he'd be up for that. Blindfolding is actually a really cool thing because what it does is it focuses your attention on the touch you're receiving. It kind of draws everything down to a pinpoint focus because it eliminates your sense of sight, clearly. And so when you do eliminate that, the others are enhanced when you eliminate one of your senses. So the touch is very much enhanced and can sometimes feel more intense. Certainly your awareness of it is really emphasized. So the blindfolding is one thing. Now you ask, how did I overcome my insecurities, if any, during the first time? Okay, so here's the confession, right? Here's the confession. I had not done pegging before, but I really wanted to, and I'd been fantasizing about it, and I knew that I could do it because I had so many years' experience with massage therapy, because I'm a massage therapist, so I know bodies. And I'd done anal play with myself, so I kind of knew how to be careful. I'd received anal intercourse. I knew what not to do, what felt good, what didn't. And I read a lot about it. And so the first time that I had a partner, what I did was I just told him I'd done it before, not a whole lot of times, but that I absolutely knew what I was doing. And I faked it until I made it, I guess you could say. He was on his hands and knees, so he couldn't see me. So I think that that was good as well. But I did put the strap on and walk around. That's another suggestion I have for you. So when you guys get to the point where you get a strap on, put it on and walk around the house in it when he's not home and get used to it. Get used to putting it on, taking it off, and get used to just how it feels on your body so that you have a little familiarity with it. But what I would suggest for you two is what I suggest for all new couples. First, he's already done the self-play, so that's awesome, and he knows his ass really well. So you can skip that part, and good for him. So the next stage would be for you two to do his ass exploration together. So you're going to explore his ass for the first time, right? He may offer some suggestions, which would be really cool because sometimes if guys are really experienced in it, it helps when they offer suggestions. But Even if it's not a suggestion type of communication that you have, make sure that your communication is really open and you're asking all the questions that you're curious about. I have an article that I wrote about newbie-ass exploration, which is meant for the very first time that she explores his ass. So give that a read through and have some fun with it. I do recommend that you do that a bunch of times, because anal exploration can be really fun, anticipatory type of play. In other words, as opposed to like reading this stuff, grabbing the strap on and going for it, you can make this an addition to your sexual play for a whole bunch of times before you actually do it. And it's good to do that because what you're doing each time is you're discovering. So you're playing with your fingers first, and then maybe you're playing with the dildo that you're actually going to have in the harness when you fuck him. So this does a lot of things. It helps you learn what angle he likes, how deep, how fast, all of these different things. So this is what you're going to try and duplicate when you actually put that toy in a harness. So the learning is a really cool thing. Plus, this is what helps you get more comfortable with it, is doing it over and over again. Maybe the first time it's just fingers, you know, a finger even. Or maybe the first time you want to go back to like a light touch on the outside in tongues and say, okay, we're going to take this little by little. We're going to take this step by step. And I am totally into this, but I want to take it slow. So these are my suggestions for a slow and gradual learning about this way fun thing that you find yourself ready to explore with him. Oh, I love this. And that's such an exciting place to be too. And once again, one of the things that I recommend for couples when they're doing things like this is to have some fun with it and do some sexting and say, hey, tonight's ass night, you know, or we're going to have some fun tonight, you know, can I play with your ass a little bit? Can we do some more on our ass exploration? You can name it, you know, and have some fun with it. Because, I don't know, there's so much seriousness with sex. There's so much, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to look awkward. I'm afraid that I don't know what I'm doing. Have some fun and laugh. If mistakes are made, then laugh, because I think everybody should be able to laugh in bed. And ideally, laughing is a part of sex. Intense pleasure is a part of sex. Emotional reaction is a part of sex. All of it's there. So allow yourself to experience all of it. And if you feel awkward, yeah, well, you're going to feel awkward, especially when you put that strap on for the very first time because you've never had one. But it's okay. And a good position to start off with that allow you to have pretty much no need for skill or endurance or strength would be to have him ride you, because the intimacy is there. You're going to have face-to-face contact. You can watch his expressions and things. He's in charge of the penetration, the speed of it, the angle, the depth, all of those things. And his cock is right there for you to play with. It's a very cool first-time position that doesn't require any skill from you. So don't jump into the big leagues and do the, hey, let's do missionary right off the bat. Anyway, I think I've given you plenty of advice. I'm going to put a link for that exploration for newbie couples onto the Linkorama on my blog, and please let me know when I can play the music for you. I can't wait, and I'll bet he can't either. Have fun. Okay, and this is just an aside for everyone. I recall at some point in one of my podcasts being asked about balls that can be attached to a dildo so that they swing, because there was a person who wanted to feel that balls swinging against them as they got fucked thing. So I found some balls that attach to dildo. They're detachable balls, which is fucking awesome. And I'm not sure if they're going to swing, but you could certainly add them to your strap-on if you want to try it out and if you like your dildos with balls. So the name of the brand is Removo Balls, which I think is hysterical. So I'm going to put the link to that. I haven't really done a whole lot of research in terms of vouching for the quality of this toy, but I just wanted to mention it because I do recall a long time ago somebody saying, hey, I'd really like to find some balls to attach to our favorite dildo. So there you go. So now I'm going to read you a series of messages going back and forth between me and someone on Reddit. They sent me a private message with a link, and the link was to a toy. The best I can describe it is it's kind of like a sleeve that goes inside the ass. And then you would fuck inside the sleeve, basically. And his question was this: do you know anybody who has tried this? Do the people on Pegging Unkinked know about it? And that is another Reddit group. Would it be helpful for people besides gay men? I saw it mentioned somewhere else and only checked it out recently. I'm not sure if you've seen it before, but thank you nonetheless. Have a good day. I checked it out and sent this back to him. I do not know of anyone who has tried it. It's made out of TPE, which is porous and can retain bacteria. So while it's okay for a masturbation sleeve, putting it in the ass is questionable. If you use it as a sleeve for the dildo to go in while pegging, which is probably what you were thinking, I suppose the only benefit would be if it's easier for the bottom. It might be nice for really sensitive bottoms. But another advantage might be also cleanliness. That is countered by the TPE porosity problem. So he writes back, I'm not interested in pegging myself, but my significant other's bi close friend has been curious about it, yet clearly anxious. I was thinking about recommending the toy for him based on the idea of less friction, but wasn't sure. He is quite conservative, and given the fact that the site the toy is sold is, well, very gay and direct, do you have any tips to broach the subject with lesser chances of him freaking out and fueling his shame? And then I wrote him back, why are you thinking of less friction? Has he found that he's very sensitive from previous anal experiences? Tips on broaching the subject. I don't really have enough info. What's his primary source of shame? What's the reason you think this toy is a good one for him and want to talk with him about it? Has he had previous male partners? You mentioned he's bi, but no female pegging partners? And I'm not sure where to find a toy like that on a less overt website. That's the only one I've ever seen. So he's answering my questions. Why are you thinking of less friction? Has he found that he's very sensitive from previous anal experiences? His answer is this: because the anal rectal walls are much more sensitive and prone to tearing, fissures, etc., which is what makes anal sex uncomfortable and more dangerous. Based on the website's description, the toy would act as a barrier. And then if I understand my significant other well, he's a virgin when it comes to backdoor activities. She said he has only had a few female partners, but kept trying to deny his attraction to men off and on. His primary source of shame, that one I don't know in depth. He communicates with her more than me. I'm kind of closer to an acquaintance level. And then he answers my question, what's the reason you think this toy is a good one for him and want to talk with him about it? Because I think, combined with lube, it would diminish the main physical discomfort that is associated with anal, and thus diminish the chances of him having an awful or regrettable experience that could make him feel even more self-loathing. I like the idea of the toy design being versatile, so if it turns out he doesn't like penetration, he can use it like a fleshlight instead of throwing it away or considering it a waste of money. Does that seem reasonable? Wow, so there was a lot I had to unpack here. His comment, because the anal rectal walls are much more sensitive and prone to tearing, fissures, etc., which is what makes anal sex uncomfortable and more dangerous. Here's my response to that. Anal sex is uncomfortable, primarily because people try to penetrate too fast with not enough foreplay, not enough lube, and too large of a toy when they first start out, not because of the sensitivity of the inner walls of the rectal canal. Anal sex is not inherently dangerous. There are many, many couples who do a lot of ass fucking and never, ever have a problem with tearing, anal fissures, etc. These problems are actually pretty rare as long as you follow the rules. Not too fast, not too big, plenty of lube, anal safe toys only, nothing sharp, and never ever use numbing lube. In addition, the whole point of enjoying anal stimulation is contact with the prostate. That is what brings pleasure. So you would be decreasing the chances that it would feel good to him in your attempt to make sure it isn't uncomfortable. I think you're making too much out of this assumed discomfort thing and trying to preemptively ameliorate potential problems with the choice of an unusual toy. And then when he answered about who knows where the shame comes from, my response to that is, so most men feel shame just because of the taboo and conflation with homosexuality, which is sadly still seen as a negative. But self-loathing is such a strong phrase. Education's the key to becoming more comfortable with something. I would recommend more education for him. Send him to pegging101.com to read up on it and understand that many, many men of all sexual orientations love anal stimulation. And then I referred him to an article that guides this man through self-play, which is the Newbie Solo Ass Play article, and I'll put that in my Linkorama. And then also a newbie ask play for couples. So the last link that I recommended as well is the first time take it slow. So I'm going to have a link to all three of those on the Linkorama, and I did send them to him as well. So basically, these steps are essential before jumping right into pegging and, you know, any kind of anal play. If he can't see his way through to playing with his own ass, he's not ready to have another person play with it. Okay, so the reason that I read you all this is because I was fascinated is not the right word. I was kind of surprised and slightly appalled at the assumption that anal sex is a thing that always involves discomfort and that it's inherently dangerous. No, it's not. It totally isn't. And I think that this misconception arises because of the many experiences that people have that are less than optimal. And like I say, if you follow those rules of safety and you take it slow and you explore it as something that is fun, that can bring pleasure, then chances are it will. So I'm not sure if the guy who wrote this was intending on that toy that's kind of like a sleeve to be used with a man fucking him or what. But interesting that he talked to me because I know all about ass stuff. But that would be the main thing, the main emphasis. Some of the information that I gave him isn't going to be accurate because this man sounds like he wants to explore with men as opposed with women. But if he's too freaked out about the homosexual thing to explore with men, then certainly pegging is an option. So anyway, I wanted to read that because if there's anybody out there who has that basic attitude of, wow, the idea of pegging really turns me on. However, I know that it's going to be uncomfortable and I know it's a really dangerous thing. No, I wanted to dispel those misconceptions and give you correct information because it's really not. So I hope that this man finds his way through to exploring anal pleasure because it's pretty damn cool. And I really admire the lengths to which a friend is going to try and help him have a good experience. But I think you're going off a little bit on the wrong track there. Thank you for writing me and asking for more information. Okay, here is the next letter. Hi, Ruby. I've had only 2 pegging sessions, and I can't say that I enjoyed them because my asshole is just too tight, and the process was not comfortable for me. I want to buy a dildo with a small diameter, but looking at prices, I don't want to pay a lot of money for something only to find out that it's not working. I'm also considering buying butt plugs to train myself. I want to buy the equipment from a brick-and-mortar shop in New York City, but I'm not sure where to start and would like your help, please. So what you need to do is to go into the brick and mortar shop in New York City and you need to ask them exactly this. That's what you need to do. I can give you all kinds of recommendations, but you know, that's what those people in brick and mortar shops are for. The people who work there. If you're going into a good one, let's see, what are some of the good ones in New York City? You have both Babeland and the Pleasure Chest there. Both of them are very good stores, and they're going to have people there to help you. So talk with them about that, because it sounds like what you need is to actually have something that you can hold in your hand and talk with them about and figure out which is the best path for you. It sounds like a set of graduated sizes of butt plugs might help you out, definitely. But at the same time, and if you choose a dildo that has a diameter of about 1 inch to 1.25 inches, you should be fine. When you describe yourself as having really tight ass, then probably the 1 inch in diameter. And there are plenty of toys out there that are 1 inch in diameter. So yes, you're going to be spending a fair amount of money because they're 100% silicone, because those 2 stores I told you about sell very good toys. So there you have it. I know it's kind of difficult, but buy once and buy quality. Make sure you get 100% silicone dildo and talk to the people at the brick and mortar and they can help you out. Here's another letter. Dear Ruby, as always, I must tell you that me and my husband Henry absolutely love your blog. Though my husband doesn't always listen to the podcasts, I try to take out time to listen to some of them, and one such podcast, I can't remember for the life of me which one, though, you read out a story sent in by one of your listeners about his experience buying a maid outfit. I thought that was extremely hot, and it really got me going. I wanted to try this out with my husband, cross-dressing, but I didn't know how to approach the subject. It took me a couple of weeks, but I needed to know if he would do this with me, cross-dress and bend over. One night, after a wonderful session of fucking him up the ass, I snuck in a conversation about fantasy, role-playing, or if he wanted to try something different, which would involve him getting fucked. I was a little shocked to learn that he had fantasized about doing something in public, not somewhere where the risk of getting caught was high, but rather a place where the chances of getting caught were minimal. I told him I would definitely think about it. Once it was my turn, I somehow managed to tell him that I wanted him to dress up as a woman while I fucked him. Surprisingly, he was quite open to the idea and told me that he would be lying if he said he hadn't thought about it once or twice. You cannot imagine how relieved I was to hear this and how the excitement was flowing within me. I told him that I had one particular fantasy I wanted to act out and that he should leave all the arrangements to me. A week later, on a Saturday, while he was at work, I told him to meet me at a hotel. This was the same hotel where we had held our wedding reception and where we consummated our marriage as husband and wife. We checked in for the night, and he asked me what we were doing at the hotel, when we could just as well have done what we needed to do at home. I told him that I wanted him to dress up in my wedding dress, and I wanted to recreate our wedding night, where he would be the bride who got fucked. I knew he was not only aroused to know that he was getting fucked again, but that this time he was going to be dressed up as a bride. So I spent a while getting him ready. I had him put on some new, sexy bridal lingerie, with makeup, a wig, the works. I thought, if I was going to do this, and if he was willing to do this, then we needed to do it right. I got him all dolled up, and I thought he looked really good. I told him to wait there while I got dressed in the bathroom. When I came out, he was surprised to see me dressed in a man's tuxedo. I told him that I wanted to recreate our wedding night, and so we did. I made him unzip my trousers, made him blow my strap-on cock just like I had given him a blowjob that night, and stripped him down to his lingerie, and I fucked him like the slut he was. It was the hottest experience I had with him while he was on his knees or while he rode me. The thought of it still excites me so much. After that night, he did confess that he would love to do this again, maybe have him dressed up as the woman and I dress up as the man every time we decide to bring out the strap-on. Now, to fulfill his wish for a pegging, someplace we can't get caught. Maybe I'll dress him up and take him if we ever do it. Oh. And she signs it, but, you know, I've already identified Henry, so I'm not going to say her name because maybe that's a little bit too much information on a podcast. So even though I'm not going to tell you her name, she wrote back again. And continued, "Dear Ruby, now that I actually think about it, I feel like I didn't really open up a lot about the experience I wrote about. So even though I thought that while what I wrote was really lengthy, maybe I would like to expand upon it a little more. One thing I think I missed out on was the fact that he was only in the bridal lingerie that night. I was a little bigger when we had gotten married, but I had made the effort to shed some weight in order to look good for him, just as he has always taken the effort to look good for me. And while I really wanted him to wear my wedding dress, it was big and wouldn't fit him. I did not want that to turn either of us off, and so the lingerie in itself would have to be enough. But yeah, like I said in the last email, he looked good. I wouldn't say he would pass for a real-looking woman, but he was beautiful to me. The fact that he had fantasized about it, albeit not as much as I had, was enough of a turn-on for me. I could sense that he felt quite feminine when he was wearing the sex lingerie a bride would usually wear for her husband. Just as I felt the power a man would feel when putting on masculine clothing, i.e. a man's tuxedo. What I also learned that night was that the whole gender role reversal play was something that was incredibly hot. The way Henry moaned and groaned as I took him, just like the many times I had usually taken him with our strap on, it turned me on so much to see that it was not just me enjoying taking on the male role. Don't get me wrong, just vanilla pegging is a huge power exchange in itself, but the fact that you and your partner dress up as the opposite gender was such a huge turn-on. Every time I thrust inside him that night, I could feel him bucking back with even more vigor than usual, while he has always moaned and groaned during our playtime. He has always been the more, oh yeah, oh yes, kind of man. But what surprised me was when he screamed, fuck me hard, I love your fucking cock. As you can imagine, this drove me even more wild, and I really began to pound into him. It was fucking glorious. I even sensed a change in his motions when he rode my cock, taking it in deeper and deeper as he tried his best to move his hips. I don't know what it was, but I do know one thing. He was loving being dressed up and acting like a slut. Anyway, like I said previously, he did tell me that he would love to be dressed up as the woman while I dressed up as the man and give him a good fucking. P.S. Once again, I apologize for sending in two lengthy emails, but I did feel the need to share with not just you, but the other listeners of your podcast so that they know that sometimes the power exchange with cross-dressing, role reversal, can be so much more exciting. Oh my goodness, that is, to use your word, a glorious sharing. That was totally awesome, and I'm so glad that you wrote back in. Lengthy emails are fine. If I want to edit them, I will, and I didn't edit very much at all out of either one of these, so I'm so glad that you elaborated, because one of the first questions that came to mind was, so they're the same size, he can wear her wedding dress? And so you answered that in the second email. It was kind of interesting. I want to give you both huge kudos for listening to each other's fantasies, for being game to explore them, and for just allowing each other so much freedom to do these things with each other and having so much fun with it. It's awesome to hear the story. It's awesome to hear about new explorations of areas of turn-ons. And clearly you both found one. And how cool that he said, well, I'd be lying if I told you that I hadn't thought about it. That's a thrilling thing. To tell your partner, you know what, I've always kind of had a fantasy about doing this, and to hear them say, you know, I have too, because then it's like free ride. Then you're walking down the path and you're going to explore it and have some fun, and you have a whole new thing to put in your sexual treasure chest of choices. So now you two have that. You two, anytime you want, can dive into the whole role reversal thing. This reminds me of a story, and it wasn't as formal, so to speak, as you with all of the bells and whistles. It was more, she cooked dinner, they ate dinner, and then he was doing the dishes. And him doing the dishes, standing there at the sink, his partner went and dressed up like a man and came back and basically pulled his sweats down and fucked him right there standing at the sink from behind. Because, you know, if you kind of do the stereotypical thing, he's doing the dishes, sort of like the, quote, woman's work, unquote, which is ridiculous. But it added to their excitement of the whole thing. It was like he's there doing the dishes. She comes in dressed like a guy, unzips her fly, bends him over and fucks him. It was pretty cool. So it reminds me a little bit of that. Sounds like you two are having so much fun. So I encourage you, and please send in the story when you do the semi-public fucking. Have fun with that one and make sure you don't get caught. Okay, thanks for writing in. Thank you so much. Okay, this is from the guy in podcast number 159 who called himself Anxiously Awaiting Anal. Hey, Ruby, I want to thank you for your advice and for putting so much time into researching a starting dildo for my friend and I. I checked out the Fun Factory booty set and the Simon Pegg, and I think they might be exactly what we're looking for. However, before I listened to your response, we'd already done some more looking around and found some products we were interested in, and I was wondering what your opinion of them might be. One was the Fun Factory Tiger, and the other was the Tantus Echo Midnight Purple. Both of them have slightly larger diameter than you recommend for beginners, but they look absolutely delightful, and I think they might be suitable upgrades once we've gotten some experience under our belts and in my ass. And as for the harness, she really likes the Spare Parts Tomboy, which I believe is compatible with all three of these dildos. And now I have a question for you. I understand your reasoning for self-play as a way of preparation for pegging, and those plugs do look very nice. But listening to your last podcast has made me realize that I know effectively nothing about how to use them. Should I just lube one up and insert it? Should I fuck myself with it, or is that more for dildos? Is there a certain amount of time I should keep it in, or a certain amount of times I should use it in a given week? Oh, and while we're on the topic, my current living situation is effectively devoid of privacy, and I have no desire for my nosy housemates to stumble upon my butt plugs. Any suggestions for hiding places, especially if I get the set, seeing as I only have one ass? Thanks again for taking time out of your day to read and respond to my first email. Thanks even more for all the extra research you did to help make our first time easier and more enjoyable. Keep up the awesome work and keep making the world a better place, one ass at a time. Happy pegging, anxiously awaiting anal. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning here. The Fun Factory Tiger and the Tantus Echo Midnight Purple are both awesome toys. Very awesome. Both of these dildos have pronounced ridges and waves in them, and that's a really important thing to take into consideration. So One of the things I love about having a larger diameter and then change, like, for example, the head on a dildo that looks like a cock, is that when the head clears and it goes back to a smaller diameter, there's this delicious feeling of relief. So what these toys do is to recreate that over and over again because of the waves and ridges in the toys, which in both of these are quite pronounced. So that's really something to take into consideration regarding the sensitivity of your prostate. I'm going to say that there's a fair amount of men out there that wouldn't like those ridges in terms of being fucked rather vigorously, so it might be a more slow fucking toy. But if you're someone who has a prostate that really likes a lot of heavy stimulation, then you might like it. You might like it a lot. So how to judge that is when she has her fingers in you, if she presses really hard on your prostate, is that when you get the most pleasure? Or is it sort of like, whoa, that's a little too much, back off from that a little bit? So that's what you have to judge. So those are both wonderful toys. They are absolutely compatible with the Spare Parts Tomboy. So let's go on to your other questions. I wrote an article about newbie self-exploration. So that is something for you to read. What I didn't put in there is what to do once you've got the toy in there. Well, explore. Okay, yeah, you can fuck yourself with it. You can move it around. You can change different angles. Explore and see what feels good, mainly, because that's what you're there for, is to explore. And in terms of time to leave it in as long as it's comfortable. Clearly, you do have some bodily functions to attend to coming out of that orifice, so it's going to be limited to a certain extent. But if it feels good and gives you a thrill to wear it when you go to the store and pick up your groceries, then do it, right? As long as it stays in really well. And wear a tight pair of briefs, you know, a snug pair of briefs or something to make sure. And if what you're trying to do is to really get yourself used to anal play, then 2 or 3 times a week. I mean, this would be for maybe half an hour at a time. And see what it's like. If it feels good to leave it in longer, you certainly can. So I guess with that, with the timing and how often, use your instincts. But at the same time, do it a minimum of 2x a week. So that way you've got that kind of as a minimum. And if you find that you want to do it every single day, you can do it. There's no problem with that at all. There's no harm to come from it. So past the 2x a week, just kind of use your instincts and do it when you want to. Do it when it's like, oh, those butt plugs are calling to me. Now, the harder question is a place, a hiding place for your butt plugs, because you have no privacy, nosy housemates to stumble upon your butt plug. So let me put some thought into that. One of the first things I thought is put them in a pair of socks. So the pair of socks is in your drawer, and I don't know what you usually do with socks, whether you tie them in a knot, your pairs, or you fold them, or you just have loose socks sitting in a drawer. But if you are the type of person who kind of folds them up and puts them together or ties them together, you could put them in a sock. You could hide them in a shoe if you have a bunch of different pairs of shoes. What else? You could put them between your mattress on the bed, but a ways in there so that nosy people who are looking for porn magazines don't find them. And if anybody else has other suggestions as to where to hide them in a household devoid of privacy, please let's help this man. Because he needs a place to hide his butt plugs and his toys. The other thing is to buy something that locks. There are toy chests. There are a bunch of different things that you could have that locks. It could be something that didn't scream out sex toys. It could be a locking metal thing that is made to hold documents or something like that. So that's another suggestion that I have. But listeners, if you have any other ideas, please let us know. So I'll be expecting to hear from you when I can play the music and have fun, you two. Have a lot of fun. Thanks for writing in. Okay, so I think that's it. We're going to leave it here. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum, or pegging101.com, which I have informational pegging articles only with no kink involved. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. And how you do that, for any of you who are newcomers here, is when you go to my blog and you see a podcast posting, first you'll see a picture because I like the sexy pictures. Right underneath it, it will say Pegging Paradise podcast number, blah, blah, blah. That is a link. If you click on that, it will stream my podcast. So that's how to find that. The follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from Entice Me, please go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off your purchase. That's RYDER. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too bizarre, too bumbling, or too bitchy. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging!